This parsha, Parshas Pekudei, is a quite a lengthy parsha that goes through the reckoning of exact amounts that went into the silver, not into the gold, interestingly, and all the various different materials that went into building the Mishkan. There is a very strong connection between three events that are happening in the Shabbos: Parshas Pekudei, Parshas Shkolim, and Mevorachim L'Chodesh. Okay, there are three intertwined, very closely connected and related incidents, and we, Be'ezus Hashem, will work through exactly what the connection is. So the parsha begins: Eile Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan HaEdus, Asher Pukad Al Pi Moshe. So this is the reckoning. Now, Eile Pekudei, the Orachaim HaKadosh says something very, very beautiful. He says, Eile Pekudei Oimroi Eile Lifsol Kominon Shabo Elam. There's a difference between V'Eile and Eile. Eile means these are the reckonings. V'Eile means and these are the reckonings, which means these are also the reckonings. When it says Eile, Eile Pekudei Mishkan means Oimroi Eile Lipsol Kominonim Shabo Elam. These are the countings, these are the reckonings, to exclude any other reckoning in the world. Anything that a person tries to reckon from his imaginary ownerships, ein minyonoi minyon, is not considered accounting. Ushmoi meira olof, and even the very name of money shows how really it is a life of fantasy. Momoin is brought down in the Medrash is ma ata moine, ma moin. Yeah, ma moine. What are you counting? You're crazy. You're counting this. It's something worth counting. Avol minyan ze, this pekudei, where you're actually counting something. Oimed lo olam, this stands up forever. Vahatam liyos minyan hamishkan hamuflo, because this minyan of the Mishkan that is incredible. Asher shochan shom elekei olam Hashem, that Kadosh Baruch Hu himself dwelt in. And therefore, what Orchaim is saying over here is, it doesn't say ve'eile pekudei, and this is also another counting. This is a counting. Nothing else. Nothing else is worth imaginary. Everything else imaginary. This is the real counting. This is it. Eile pekudei hamishkan. Reb Moshe Feinstein talks about a lot in his sefer. Why was it necessary for us to go into this detail? Why go into such lengthy detail, exactly what it was made from and how it was made, and then go into exactly the amounts? And Reb Moshe says very, very beautifully, he says that the Torah is teaching us to count what is real, not to count things that are imaginary. Count what is real. This parasha is real. This parasha is reality. This parasha is the guide and the key to making what we would actually think is imaginary amounts of money, making them real, making them yours. And this is this week's parasha. The Darke Musa, Yaakov Naiman, says that he wants to be chaylik with the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim used to say that every fool is clever for himself. Yeah, a shaita, you know, and he thinks that guy's an idiot. He's living. He's able to put bread on his table. He's able to support his family to an extent. A fool is a shmerel fayenem, nishfazich. Yeah, he's a, for somebody else, not for himself. Rabbi Yaakov Naiman says, I want to say something else. I want to say, a chochem is a chochem for other people, not for himself. A chochem is a fool for himself. Chofetz Chaim says, a fool is a chochem for himself. The Darke Musa says, a chochem is a fool for himself. So what's Peshat? He says, in every area of life, a person invests their energies and invests their koichus and invests their mind and invests their time and invests their huge amounts of effort into raising money. And they raise more and more and more money. And what happens in the end? They leave it all behind and somebody else takes it over and they spend the whole time raising money. Why is it that people are so foolish that they raise so much money for other people and they themselves don't enjoy it. Like Gemara says, Ozvu lachirim chelam. They leave for the other people their wealth. Kiloi b'moisa yikra koli. Don't take anything for yourself. Why is it that people are so foolish? Why don't people invest in themselves? Why don't people take the money and use it for themselves? What that means is that a person, if he is foolish, he will invest his life into making money that he cannot take with him. If a person is wise, he'll put his efforts into taking something that he himself can benefit from. He himself can take to Olam Haba, he himself can invest in something that he actually can benefit from. And he says, that's Peshat in the Pasuk, says, V'lakachtem lachem b'yom arishin. V'lakachtem lachem b'yom arishin, it says, by taking Lulav and Esrog, you should take for yourself on the first day, pre-Eitz Hodor, yeah, an Esrog. So the Mepharshim ask, the Gemara ask, what should have lakachtem lochem for yourself? And there's a bunch of halachas, lakachtem lochem, it can't be gozel, it can't be stolen, it can't be shol, it can't be borrowed. But also lakachtem lochem. He says, Sukkos is celebrating the yontov of wealth. It's chaga osif. It is a yontov where you are bringing all the harvest. It's a yontov when you're bringing in everything in to the home, and you're celebrating with that. And it's an incredible celebration. And he says, don't get fooled for 1 second that all this huge stockpile that you may have is something that really is yours, that you really happen to benefit from, because you never know, from one day to the next you could be dead. Who knows? Rahman al-Islam, things happen. Says a pasuk, v'lakachtem lochem b'yom arishon. If you want to take something for yourself, something real that nobody can ever take away from you, is a lakachtem lochem b'yom arishon creates hodom. Take for yourself a small little fruit. That is the only thing that is yours. That is the only thing that is realistically something you can take from place to place, that you can take to the Olam Haba. That's what the Kachtim Lachem B'Yom Arishon. This, Rabbi Yisai, is Parshas Pekudei. Parshas Pekudei is teaching me that any other valuation, any other way of calculating life, is possible, no longer exists. This is the only way to count what belongs to you as a real investment, is if you invest it in Torah, in mitzvahs, if you invest it in a family that's going to fulfill HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rotzen. Otherwise, you're wasting your life. Klal Yisrael is taught a very unique understanding of what money is. There is a Western world who is eat, drink and make merry. It's a focus on money as being a goal in itself. There is a world of, whether it's Buddhism, or whether it's Catholicism, where money actually is a distraction. The money is bad. To have to own something destroys you. Torah is completely different. Torah has a very, very beautiful and very well-balanced gisha, direction of how we should be using our money. And this is what Parasha Shkolim is all about. It's a very, very interesting medrash. The Medrash says in the Parashas Kisiso, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Zeh Yitnu. Now Zeh, you know, is always pointing at something. Says Rashi, what's Rashi? Zeh Yitnu. Everyone should give a Machzor Shekel. What's Zeh Yitnu? Says Rashi, Hereloi k'min matzbeah shel eish. He showed him a matzbeah made out of fire, Umishkola, and its weight was machzus a shekel, a half a shekel. Va'im aloin, he said to him, "Kazei, you know, this is how you should be giving." Now, what was going on over here? What's the background to this Rashi? So the Tanchuma says that Moshe Rabbeinu was a little bit stuck. Moshe Rabbeinu does not really know what to do. He didn't know what this half a shekel was. So Kadosh Baruch Hu showed him a matzbeah shel eish and said, "This is what the half a shekel should be." And then the Mepharshim ask, number one, Moshe Rabbeinu could have many questions on the Tzivui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu was told how to make a menorah, extremely complicated. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to show him. Moshe Rabbeinu did not know which shrotzim or tommy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him. But to not know what a half a shekel looks like, why was that so difficult in Moshe's mind? What was this? He had a pen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to make a nason show him. Number two, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu show him? HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him a matzbeah of eish. How did that answer Moshe's question? Moshe's question is, what am I supposed to be telling Klal Yisrael to give? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows him a matzbeah shel eish. Klal Yisrael wasn't supposed to give matzbeah shel eish. Klal Yisrael was supposed to give matzbeah shel kesef. So what was Moshe's question and what was the answer? So there's Nine of Torah says something very, very beautiful, and he says that Moshe Rabbeinu could not understand the tzivui, the command of what's going on here. The Pasuk says, everyone should give a half a shekel. As the Pasuk says, Tesvov, Lechape al nafshei seichem, to have a kapora on yourselves. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Rabbeinu Shalom, I cannot understand how you can encourage Klal Yisrael to use money. How can you encourage Klal Yisrael to value money to the extent that is going to be the kapora? If Klal Yisrael value money, if Klal Yisrael have an emphasis on money, that's not going to be a kapora. That's going to be a that's going to destroy them. That's going to completely eradicate them. If a dal lo yamit, if the dal's going to start running around now and trying to find money, he's going to make a value on money. Putting a value, putting stress on money is not a kapora. On the contrary, that is what wipes us out. Moshe Rabbeinu could not understand that. It says the pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him at Tzbeah Shel Eish. What's Eish? It says it's Naim LaTorah. Eish is destructive. Eish destroys. Eish is dangerous. Very dangerous. It kills. Mitzad Sheni, Eish is a way used to build. Eish is something that can cook, can make from food that is raw food into cooked food. Eish is something that gives us light, gives us direction. If you know how to use money correctly, it turns from something that is destroying to something that is illuminating. From something that kills to something that helps you live. Money is something that is Eish. Absolutely. But it depends upon you how you use that Eish, in a destructive way or in a productive way. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's question. That's how Kosh Baruch Hu answered him. And you can use money to lechape al nafshei seichem, to have a kapora for yourself. Why a half a shekel? Klal Yisrael is told to create a mishkan for Kodesh Baruch Hu. Was told to create a structure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who what we see in this world, what we see in this universe, is a tiniest part of what he's created in the Milky Way, in the solar system. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, make me a little booth, a little mishkan, and I'll live in that booth. How is that possible? HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches us that the half a shekel, says the Zayin Torah, is saying, you got to do your half and I'll do my half. It's not you that's building it. You cannot make me live in your house. You cannot make me live in this mishkan. Together, your investment in the correct way and my investment of connecting with your investment creates Hashra'as Hashchina on your money. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that the koyach of a human being is to use the money that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him, that we discussed last week, the money that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him, together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kedusha, can take something that the world looks as so destructive, so bad, so terrible, and it can create it as a mokum for Hashra'as Hashchina if you use it in the correct way. One does not have to leave the Torah behind. One does not have to leave the Torah behind to become an Erech Yid. There's a fascinating Dark Musa. He says, do you know Moshe Rabbeinu is a very big gvir? Moshe Rabbeinu is very wealthy. Where did he get his wealth from? Do you know where he got his wealth from? From the Shiva. It says, Pesol Lecha, Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, go out and hew out the luchos. Yeah? So it was made out of saffron, a very expensive stone. So HaKodesh, probably very, very large stone. So Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Kodesh Baruch Hu, Pesol Lecha. Pesol Lecha Shtei Luchos Habris. Pesol Lecha literally means, hew out for yourself luchos Habris. And on that, the Medrash says, Pesolecho means, Hapsoiles Yeshulcho. The leftovers, the remnants, will belong to you. Asks the Darki Musa, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give Moshe Rabbeinu his wealth through the Luchas? Why did he have to do it through that way? Why couldn't he just not given him some very good Microsoft bonds? Give him some good shares, and let him come wealthy through that. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu dafke give Moshe Rabbeinu his wealth through the leftover crumbs of hewing out the luchas? Says Yakanaim to teach us that a person does not have to leave the Torah to become an Osher. A person does not have to say, I cannot have anything to do with learning Torah in order to become wealthy. Through the luchas, you can actually take the Torah and make money from the Torah. You can take the Torah and become wealthy through keeping the Torah. Torah is not turning your back on money. Torah is not a fact, leave the Torah behind and become wealthy. No, take the Torah and work on it, and you become wealthy through that. The Pasuk says that, if you do what you're supposed to be doing, your work will be done through other people. But there's one condition. The condition is that that it's got to be to you like psoilus. That the wealth that you get through Torah is not the ikka, is not the main thing. Pasol lecha. If it's to you like psoilus, the wealth that you have is the remnants, it is something that is psoilus, that is the offshoot, the topple, not the main thing, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu can very safely give you money. But if you make money the ikka, if you make money the main thing, and it's not pasol lecha, and you leave behind the Torah, and you make the psoilus, the ikka, and make the cutoffs, the wealth, the ikka, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not given it to you. So dafka through the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made you wealthy, as long as it's pasol lecha, as long as you have your priorities, as long as you know what is right and what is wrong. There's a beautiful Chasam Sefer, a Piderech Drush. You know, you've got to learn Chasam Sefer properly. It's quite a limud. And the Chasam Sefer says in Torah Smeisha, says that this. It says a Piderech Drush. He says, you know, the Gemara says in Kedushin that La'olam yira odom chetzi zake v'chetzi chayiv. A person should always see themselves exactly in the middle. That in Shemayim there is an exact balance, and he is exactly 50-50. 50% mitzvahs, 50% averus. He's exactly hanging in balance. You do one extra mitzvah, then that's going to change the whole scale. You do one extra avera, chalila, it's going to change everything. And a person should always look at himself as if he is always, always, not as if I'm a Rosh or a Tzaddik, I'm exactly holding in balance. One extra mitzvah, one extra emphasis of Krishma or learning or davening is going to make all the difference. So he says, it's a Gemara. It's a Gemara in Kedushin. Where's the Gemara in Kedushin? Gemara in Kedushin, that's Memam Abbas. La'olam yira atzmik ili chetzi chai v'se chetzi zakai. Im oisa mitzvah yachri atzmik ili kol zuchus. And also the whole world as well, the Gemara says. Kanira. So he said, that's Peshat in the Pasuk of here. Perik Lamed Pasuk Gimel. Ze Yitnu. Ze Yitnu means, this is what you should concentrate on. Ze Yitnu. Yitnu means, put it on your heart. Concentrate on this. Kol Oiva Ala Pekudim. Anyone who transgresses the Pekudim. Anyone who does a virus. Like I said, Pekudim Hashem Yishorim and Samchilev. Anyone who goes against our virus. Kol Oiva Ala Pekudim. Anyone who goes against the Torah, the commands of the Torah. What should he do? He should see himself as machzis hashekel b'shekel hakodesh, that he is exactly half-half in the shekel hakodesh, the way they're weighing him up in Shemayim, b'shekel hakodesh, in the weighing up of the shekel hakodesh, whether you're kodesh or not, he's machzis hashekel. He is exactly half. And therefore, with the money that you give, and the extra stocker tats and mimavis, that stocker has the ability to change everything around, that will be your kapara. So Zer Yitnu, when a person sees money, think to yourself, Zer Yitnu, this is what I should concentrate on. If I've done a virus and I need kapara, machzis v'shekel, see myself as exactly half-half v'shekel v'kodesh, and this stock will change everything. This is a koyach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created in the world, that the ability of money has ability to bring a HaKadosh Baruch Hu shechina down in this world, on the condition that we use in the correct way, it's pesolachal. That it's, the rest of it is pesolas, it is not important. The ikka is Tod Yerushalayim, and we use the money in the correct way. But it's much more than that. At the end of the parasha, in parashas, the end of Pikudei, the pasuk talks about the putting up of the Mishkan. And it talks about Moshe Rabbeinu not being able to come into the Mishkan. And right at the end, Perik Mem, Pasuk Lamed Vav. It talks about, Pasuk Lamed Hei, talks about the various different entities of exactly what happened when the Mishkan had the Onon above it. When they had the clouds, and Nani HaKovod in the Midbar. And if you look in Pasuk Lamed Hei, V'leyochol Moshe Lave Ol Moed, Kishochan Olav Onon, because the Onon was on inside the Oil Moed, Uchvoid Hashem mole as a Mishkan and the Kovod of Hashem filled out the Mishkan. Lamud Vav ubehe olos ha'onam ala Mishkan. Generally speaking, when the onon would rise above the Mishkan, Yisu b'nei Yisrael b'chol mas'ehem, Klal Yisrael would travel in all their travels when it would rise up. Ve'im lo yeh lo ha'onon, and if the onon would not rise up, v'lo Yisu, and they would not travel ad yoim he'elosoi, until it would rise. Okay. In other words, that when the onon was above the Mishkan, then it would mean they have to stop. When the onon would move, then the Klal Yisrael would move with it. But what it does mean is that when they were traveling, the onon was not on the Mishkan. Next pasuk, ki anan Hashem al haMishkan yoimom, the anan, the cloud of Hashem was on the Mishkan during the day, the eish tia laila boy, and the fire was at night over the Mishkan, le'enei kol beis Yisrael, in the eyes of all Klal Yisrael, b'chol mas ehem, according to all their travels. What is mashma from here? What comes up from the pasuk? That the anan of the Mishkan was on the Mishkan, the chol mas ehem, on all their travels. In other words, the first two pesukim seems to say that only when they actually rested in one place was the anan on the Mishkan. Correct? Then the next pasuk seems to say that on all their travels, even when they were traveling, the anan was on the Mishkan. And it's clearer in Bamidbar, it says, Baharich onon on the Mishkan, the Midbar test, it says, and when the onon was on the Mishkan, Lishchoin olov, Yachnu b'nei Yisrael, to dwell on it, Yachnu b'nei Yisrael, v'lo Yisu, ubahaloisoi, and when it moved, Yisu they moved. In other words, when was the onon on the Mishkan? When they were dwelling. When was the onon not on the Mishkan? When they were traveling. And here it seems to say that the pasuk says that the onon was even there when they were resting. Even when, yeah? B'chol mas'ehem, everywhere they were going. Even when they were traveling, the onon was also there. So look at Rashi. Rashi says that Eine kol beis Yisrael b'chol mas'ehem, b'chol maso shehoyo noisim, every masa that they travelled, Hoyo ha'onon shoichin b'mokoim ashi yachnu shom. The onon dwelt in a place where they were yachnu shom, where they were dwelling. Mokoim chaniyosom af hu kori maso. The place that they rested were also called a maso. In other words, Rashi says like this. No way was a onon, yeah, was a onon on the Mishkan when they were travelling. The onon stopped and rested. That was when they were standing stationary. There's no way the onon was on the Mishkan when they were traveling. If so, how does it say over here that b'chol mas'ehem, when they were traveling, the onon was on there? It does not mean that when they were traveling, the onon was there. It wasn't. But b'chol mas'ehem means when they were resting in one place, there the onon dwelt. If so, why say b'chol mas'ehem? Mas'ehem means while they were traveling, not when they were resting. Says Rashi, even when they were resting, they were traveling. B'chol mas'ehem means mokoim chaniyosom, even when they were dwelling, af hu kore maso, is also called a traveling. In other words, very clearly, the onon was not over the Mishkan when they were traveling, only when they were resting. If so, how can it say over here that it was on the onon when they were traveling? When they were resting, it was called as if they were travelling, and on that, that's where the onon was on. Said the Bani Musa, and I think it's so fitting for the one who said this. And the one who said this is Reb Chaim Kaufman, my Rebbe. Reb Chaim, bit of a background, was a incredible Talmud Chochem. Benigla ubenista. He had Bekius, he had Amkus, he was a Muslim in Tayr Nirshamayim. He was somebody who was I'd never seen him do anything that was questionable. He was able to control his speech when he had to keep quiet. He was able to give an incredible drosh in front of 1,000 people when he had to do that. He was a person who fitted in perfection in every single part of Torah and Yerushalayim. Incredible. Whether it's Divrei Chassidus, whether it's Divrei Lomdus, he had a hand in everything. But he was a businessman too, and he had a business. He provided for his family. He provided for his sons and sons-in-law who sat and learnt. He had a property business, and he sometimes have to travel. And he would travel, and he'd make sure that he'd be back in yeshiva, and he'd sometimes travel through the night just to make sure he was not late for shir. Everything was just for the sake of Torah. Everything was on the focus of Torah and Yerushalayim. His travels were clearly for the sake of his chanayosom. In other words, he says at this, pshat at this. He said, from this Rashi we learn, as we said over here, that even when you rest, even when you have a chanayosom, the fact that they were resting in the midbar was considered part of their traveling. Why? Because they weren't resting in order to have a good time. They were resting in order to get themselves refreshed in order to carry on traveling in the midbar. Therefore, their resting, what the Pasuk says over here, their resting was actually a travel. And the traveling, and therefore the Pasuk calls Mas'ehen, the travel was talking about when they were resting. Because a person who is able to adapt correctly to what money is knows that even the time when he's standing in the bank, or the time when he's working out with his investments, or mortgaging, or filling up his tax returns, if he's doing it for the correct reasons, if he's doing it and he's doing it as a travel, yeah, he's doing it as a resting point in order that he's not actually learning right now, if he's doing it for the sake of Torah, that is traveling. He is growing. It is not a steer, it's not a contradiction. A person is able to be in a world of business with a correct mind. If it's psalacha, if it's psoiles, if it's not important to him, then he is able to travel even when he is resting. That's what the Pasuk is saying over here. Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek tells us that become strong in this. That's what Parshas, the Sefer Shmos finishes. The Sefer that has Yisias Mitzrayim, and it has Kabbalah HaTorah, and it has Binyan HaMishkan. It tells me the last few words that you should just know that when you are going back into the world of business, and you're going back into the world of looking after your family, you should just know that even when you're resting from Torah, when you're not learning Torah, that itself is a journey. That itself is a traveling, and you get schar for that as well. That is what the Pasuk is teaching me over here. Unfortunately though, it's very, very difficult not to be caught up in the psalacha, not to be caught up in the psalis. The Zayin Torah asks, logically, who needs more of a kapara when it comes to money issues? An oni or an oshir? One would think an oshir. I think an oshir. Oshir is involved in hiring, he's involved in firing, he's involved in investments, he's involved in ribis, he's involved in diddling the tax man. He's involved in so much financial questionability that of course he would require more of a kapara than an oni who's just getting he's employed, he's a minimum wage, and he comes home and he supplies his family. Why does he, the osher, have exactly the same amount as kapara as an oni, a half a shekel and a half a shekel? It doesn't make sense. And his vot is such a wonderful vot. He answers like this, and it's so typical of Zayin Torah. He says, and I embellish this a little, he doesn't say it to such an extent. He says that in the world, you look around, the businessman has a different world. The wealthy class have a different world than the working class. I mean, not looking today, you know, at 1800s in France. We're not talking about, you know, in the communist revolution. We're talking about poshut today. It's very clear. You know, a person goes to an airport. The clearest thing, a person goes to the airport, right? Everyone else is standing in a long line, waiting to check in, and waiting for passport control. The person who's a frequent flyer, he's a businessman. He doesn't have his heavy bags with him. He's got his little case on four wheels, and he glides it along past everybody else. Everyone else is waiting. There's no wait for him, Bichlal. They do his ticket. He glides from there straight into the lounge, and there waiting for him is beautiful pipe music, and he has fresh croissant, and he has freshly brewed coffee, and he's sitting down in the armchairs there, reading the paper or doing his emails, and everyone else is like pushing through, waiting for the passport control, and then you have to stand around and maybe get yourself a cup of coffee from Chabad, or if not, you have to actually pay for a cup of coffee, and you're walking, and it's a different world. And then you get on the plane, and everyone else is like standing and looking around. This guy goes into first class. He sits there in his couch. By the way, he's always there first, like, to see everyone else walking past him and not sitting in the couch. He's made it more than anyone else. And he sits there on the couch, and he's enjoying himself. Magialo, vakasha, okay. And he has his champagne before he even starts. He's got his champagne, and his hat and jacket taken from him. It's a different world. It's a different class. And he put this person, and he take away his privilege card, and he make him stand like everyone else. It is a trauma. It's a serious trauma for the poor person. What the Maschil Shekel is doing over here is taking away his privilege card. Big Gvir, wealthy man, thank you, really, Be'emes, thank you for supporting Klal Yisrael. Thank you for dedicating a life to working hard to supporting Moistus. But at one time of the year, there is no King David class. There is no executive lounge. You stand in line with every Oni and every regular person, every Osher, they all stand in line together. And they all give exactly the same amount. There's no privilege card. That to an Oshir who's living in a life of living away from everyone else and being privileged, not having to wait in line, is a bigger kapora for him than anything else. That is a bigger kapora. That is why he, Taka, does have a bigger kapora to do. And that kapora, that tshuva is done by him living like everyone else, because he is used to life of not psalacha, of not psalis. This is my life. I pay for this. I deserve more. I demand more. And here you stand like everyone else. It's very, very difficult to use money correctly. And that's why we say, Mevorach HaMachodesh. Is there a sit over here? Besitzein Lonu. Shvayach. Besitzein Lonu. Chaim Aruchim. We say in the Hirotzim before Musaf. Besitzein Lonu. Chaim Aruchim. All wonderful things. Give us a long life. Chaim shel shalom, of peace. Chaim shel toiva, of good. Chaim shel brocha, of brocha. Chaim shel panosa, of panosa. Panosa means sustenance. Chaim shel chilas at some ways. Chai, yeah, fine. But we said beforehand, yeah, and we say as well, Chaim sheyesh behem yirah shemayim v'yirah schait. Very important. Chaim sheyesh behem yirah shemayim v'yirah schait. Chaim she'ein behem busha chlima, not be embarrassed. In this world or the next. So we daven over here for sustenance. We daven over here for Yerushalayim. We daven for Yerushchet. Carries on. Chaim shel oishe v'chovid. Chaim of Ashiras and a kovid. Chaim shetehei bonu ahavas toira v'Yerushalayim. We daven again for ahavas toira v'Yerushalayim. We just daven for Yerushalayim beforehand. Why are we asking again for Yerushalayim? Answer the Mefarshim. That when you're asking for parnasa, just have a regular life, that's one Yerushalayim you got to ask for. When you're asking for oishe v'chovid, when you're asking for ashiras, when you're asking for kovid, then you got to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu again for a whole new level of understanding, a whole new level of realization of reality, of chayim sh'teyesh v'ana ahavas toyish v'ahavas toyin Yerushalayim. That is something else completely different. That is a whole different world in itself. That requires a whole new tefillah. This is the parasha. Parshas Pekudei and Parshas Shkolim is giving us an idea of how we should be viewing something that is Eish, something that is dangerous. Money is dangerous. If you use it in a correct way, you can use it to build ourselves up, to build a community up, to build up our families, to use it for Ashras HaShchina, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu caressed in it. If we realize it's Pesolecho, that ultimately it's only Pesoides, it is Tofel, it's not what's important. The main thing is to use it for the correct way, for the Machzor Shekel, for the Shekel HaKodesh. The Shekel HaKodesh, the Shekel HaKodesh part of this. And if we realize this, then as a brisker, as a Chasam Sofer says, it can change our life around. It can change the balance of our schusim. Don't be taken aback by Pesolachol, that Pesolachol is the Ikka, the privileged card is something that you're so proud of. It's not. What you should be proud of is what you support, and what you help, and how you build up the world around you. That's what's important. And Be'ez Hashem, we should have a Shiris, we should have all the wonderful brachas, but the most important thing is Chayim Shdehevon Ahav Astoyev Yerushimayim, that we should have the focus on what's really important, of the knowing that Eile Pekudei, this is accounting, and not the Eile, that we're just counting this as another important aspect.